Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome everybody to season 3, episode 14 of The Psychologists Are In. I'm Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Ombudson.
And today we have the guests of all guests. You know him, you love him, you know that's right. It's Dulé Hill.
What's happening, y'all? It's good to see y'all faces.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Tim.
I feel like I haven't seen you in months because I was world traveling.
You were gone a week, and it feels like I haven't seen you in so long.
And I was going to say, it's only been a month since I've seen you, Timo, because we were all at your house there for your birthday.
We had a nice little party.
It was a month.
Yeah, it was a month.
I'm not used to podcasting with you weekly.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
That was very fun that night. I love all of us. Yes, love you.
We love you too.
Both.
At least I do. I can't speak for Tim or anybody else. I love you, Maggie. You know what I'm saying?
I love you too, Dulé.
Yes, and probably more than anybody else on this show. I'm just saying. So.
Same.
I would have to concur with that.
Same.
You see? See, there we go.
Dulé, and we can keep this in or take this out. Stacey, is it Stacey Muhammad?
Yes.
She's directing. We have I don't actually know her. I would love to meet her. I have a friend who is a mutual friend of her. We have a mutual friend in New Orleans. Anyway. And
Let's FaceTime this week.
Let's do it.
I haven't met her yet. I go back to work this week and then we'll be working.
Oh my God. I would love to meet her. Yeah. I just think she's amazing. And then my friend posted about her the other day and it was a picture of like I'm at the Wonder Years. She was like, you know, prepping or something. And I was like, oh, I have to tell Dulé. I love it.
Well, yes, I work with her on Monday and then Thursday and Friday. So one of those days, let's try to remember to FaceTime it up.
I love it. I love it so much. Right. Should we dive into this episode, guys?
Let's do it.
First of all, Maggie, you look amazing, even though I haven't seen you for a week. I mean,
she's glowing. She's glowing.
Oh, Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Really?
She was just so excited to see us.
I'm so excited to see both of you. I had a little bit of wine last night because Melanie was in town just for like 2 days. So I got to
see
her.
Shocker. You, Melanie, wine?
I know.
You want Melanie Linsky?
I was like, so I don't know if this glow is out of, we'll say it's out of joy and a happiness to see.
Yes,
to see you guys today.
Slight hangover sweats.
Yes, joy, hangover, it's all the same. You know,
the hangover sheen, you know, it's just like a little sheen.
Joy was in play at some point in the last 24 hours.
Joy is why I'm up right now. So like, and mobile, I'm kidding. It was not that bad, but. Okay.
See, I'm looking at full disclosure. I'm looking at a little bit of jet lag. I flew in from London last night because I'm so jet setting and cool.
Yes, yeah.
But so I'm on. Let's see. It's only 10:24 to me. Well, 10:25. So I'm actually okay. So this is a jet lag coma hair that's going on right now.
It's very impressive, Tim. Though it's very impressive.
You look great.
I thought it was stuck like that because you just flew so fast and you know, the wind was blowing.
That's what it was. Yes. But fun side note before we dig into this amazing episode. So I did a Supernatural fan convention in Birmingham, England, where I was just really overjoyed by not only the amount of psych love, which was tremendous, but more to the point, a hell of a lot of psychologists are in.
Aww,
hey.
Nice.
So we have not only is our show an international success, the podcast is an international success. So dear people of Birmingham and wherever you are in the world who came to see me in Birmingham and some of the other Supernatural guests, thank you for the love. And I'm really glad to hear you're loving the podcast.
That's so nice. That's so great to hear. Yeah. To
Birmingham and beyond.
Birmingham and beyond. Love.
Thank you. And sending love back to you all in Birmingham and beyond. I just want to hear Tim Ombudson say Birmingham one more time.
Me too. Really cool. Say it.
Birmingham.
Yeah.
Oh, you see what I'm saying? There you go.
It's
or Brummy. If you're from there, I guess you're known as a Brummy.
A Brummy.
Oh, the Midlands. The Midlands of England.
The Midlands. Midlands.
Birmingham. Tim, you've been traveling so much.
Because you and I were just in Salt Lake City at Fanex.
Yeah.
Feeling the intense love from.
Oh yeah, Fanex is cool. That's, I think Rodin and I went there a couple years ago.
Yes, yeah, a lot of people had your photos.
People miss you.
No, you guys did Fanex. We did a premiere of the first movie there as well. And okay. And like a panel. So we were all there for that. And then I think just you and James did Salt Lake City that year, because Tim did it last year and they all were saying they had me this year and now they want like Kirsten, maybe Kurt, like some other people next year. But they actually, and Corbin, but they're really pushing. They would like all of us to come at some point. We had so many, like a lot of psych love over there.
So much psych love.
I mean, maybe if we do another psych movie, we can go there again. Who knows?
Yeah,
just things that I think about.
Yeah.
I got to say, Meg, toughest thing about being in England, not being able to text you four times a day, because the time change was obviously a little wonky.
No, we still got to quite a bit. I want to talk about your trip for just 1 second, because I think Dulé would appreciate this too. You know, this is like Tim's, one of his favorite places in the world. He worked over there.
Birmingham.
He's... London, well, that whole London area. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was, I remember us like talking about how much you missed Dukes and like your routine over there and like how, you know, much time you had spent, which is, we'll tell them about Dukes in a second, but I remember being like, you're going to go back. You're going to go back. You're going back. Like, you will be back there.
Next time you go to London, which you have to go soon, I will turn you on to the greatest bar in the world that I turned Mag on 2 years ago.
Okay.
And the world's best bartender, Alessandro Palazzi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alessandro. Who's a master.
But
okay. They make a Vesper Martini that will literally knock your shoes off.
Really?
Yes.
This
is
in London town.
This is in Mayfair, yeah.
At the Mayfair? The Mayfair, you say? Okay. Okay.
It is up your alley, my friend.
Okay.
But I just wanted to like shout out your resilience, your joy for life. And like you did it. He was sending me these pictures, Dulé. Like the smile on your face. Like he didn't miss a beat, did everything, went to his favorite places, his pubs, his restaurants, had the convention. And it just made me so happy to see. I was so happy for you. You so deserve to have that. It's like your happy place.
It really was. And I must say, I think probably every picture I sent you virtually, there might have been a drink in my hand.
There was. Oh, for sure. Every single photo 100%. Had a drink in your hand.
So unfortunately, as Allison couldn't take me. So I took my best friend, Nick Schwartz, came as my sort of travel companion, caregiver. And although for the day, we came with the title of Man Valet.
Love it.
Man Valet. So
and of course, Schwartz is, as all of you who've listened to the podcast know, that every now and then I like to bust out a Schwartz, just to a random cop in the back, and I yell at Schwartz. And that's my buddy Nick. So we had a great boys trip in jolly old London town and Birmingham.
Yeah.
Birmingham.
Love Birmingham. It. We got one more in.
I have a question, Timo. Did you, at any point during this joyous trip, look at your hands and say, nothing good.
No can good. Come of this. Can't come of it.
I remember. Oh my God. No,
I don't know what you're talking about, Dulé, but no, I did not. Other than ordering the third Vesper Martini. No, that's not true. The second Vesper Martini, which, although I got to say, so we were in Dukes and, these Vespers are so strong. There's a list of house rules in the menu. And one of them is you're not served three Vesper Martinis here unless you're staying in the hotel. Because they are like, they are just rocket fuel.
And the
cops finally asked the establishment to stop selling more than two to people. Because we like That's leave crazy. The bar and set Mayfair on fire.
That's crazy. Now, you know, whenever I'm next in London town, I'm going to have to search this place out.
Let's dive in, guys.
Let's dive in.
Are you all ready to podcast the shit out of it?
I've had a week off to get ready to podcast the shit out of it, Maggie. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay.
Let's twist this.
Episode 14, True Lies, written by Tori Walker, directed by Martha Coolidge. I remember. Oh. I was, yeah, right? Okay, yeah. Pineapple sighting. At the restaurant, a woman is eating from a pineapple behind Gus and Sean. Tom Lieber has a cup of pineapple on the tray in front of him in the hospital, and there are crates filled with pineapples when Sean and Ryan, wow, we really went for it, are trapped in the alley near the end.
I thought those were peaches, but okay, we'll say it was pineapple.
Yeah. Tom Lieber.
Mm-hmm. Lieber, that's right. Tom Lieber.
Shout out to Tom Lieber.
Yes.
Who was our dear friend and one of our executives.
Yes, right.
On our show the whole time, and like a true psych love, like he loved the show, he loved us, we love him so much. So it was very, very fun to hear his name again, and I forgot that of course we named a character after him, but forgot that we did that.
It was a pleasant surprise to see it. I was like, oh my gosh, Tom Lieber.
Yeah.
So we love the fact that Tom brought the NBC Universal credit card up to Vancouver for his set visits, and there's more than one imbibing session at Joey's in many places. Can you believe that? I am still shocked to think that we went out drinking with Tom.
Yeah, because we never did it unless we had unless we had Tom and the Universal credit card. We never did it on our own.
No, never, never. Never.
No.
Never. But all right. No, never, never, never. We wouldn't do that. Never.
Never.
No. It was funny with the pineapple thing, though, real quick. At the end, it was like, wow, I guess they really want to make sure that we saw the pineapple, though, because even Johnny Silverman actually holds up the pineapple. I was like, wow.
Yeah, and he almost like hit somebody with one of the bad guys in the head with it.
Like, just in case you can't see it, here it is.
I think this might have been an overcompensation for a couple episodes ago when we had Steve Franks, and he said that there is one episode where there's not a pineapple in the episode. It got cut out for some reason and never put back in. Anyway, so this was an over. We're overly making up for it.
Can we ever have too much delicious flavor on the show? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Can't.
I don't think so.
All right, cold open. Flashback to 1987. Henry hears a suspicious noise in his home, only to find Sean home from school eating cereal. Sean makes up...
specifically eating honeycombs.
That was a throwback. Oh.
Quintessential 80s...
80s cereal, yeah.
Quintessential.
Sugary breakfast cereal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was a throwback for me, too. Sean makes up an extravagant lie since he got suspended. Henry claims he's the human lie detector and nothing can get past him. Then he teaches Sean rule number one. Every lie is based on a kernel of truth. And if he keeps lying, no one will believe him when he's actually telling the truth. Cut back to present day. This was cool. Sean narrates himself playing mini golf in the police station. Somehow, Sean almost gets the perfect shot, weaving through people in the station and bouncing off of a closing door. But just as Lassie and Jules walk in with their perp, Lassie hits the ball off to the side. This was kind of cool.
We got to say, the perp, of course, is Johnny Silverman, our old pal Johnny, who came up to join us for this one. His first of at least two, right?
Yeah, I think he does another. He does one more.
He came back one more. What I remember about that golf scene, though, was that there was no golf ball when the camera's on us. We're just reacting. Now the ball's over here. We're like, we're doing all these reactions to nothing. That I remember when I was watching it. I said, oh yeah, I remember this.
Oh, that's crazy.
Acting.
You said
it's called acting, guys. Acting.
It wasn't really
sometimes
there. I was acting like it was there, everybody.
But pretend.
Yes. The ball was there. The ball wasn't there. You see what I'm saying? You thought the ball was there because when the camera was on us, it looked like we were reacting to the ball. But it
that's
wasn't there.
That's how good you are. It wasn't
there.
There was no ball. There was no ball.
There were no balls. It was just us
reacting.
So Delay
and Rodé had no balls in this
scene.
No
balls.
You all acted very, very well. It's as if you had seen so many that you knew exactly
what to do. We just knew how to. We like, oh no, we know the ball's there. We can imagine. We can see the balls. Trust
me. We're using sense memory acting technique there?
Yes. Trust me. We're fine. We don't need any balls on the day. We don't need any balls on the day because we got it. We know what the balls look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. I missed you.
Yeah, me too, Delay. I used to have
I have a show first here, Max.
What? Oh, my God. What? Faherty is all about clothing for life's best moments, whether it's a Friday night football game, the first day of school, or hanging with the family in your backyard this fall. They make clothes that feel good and make you feel good. Faherty is a brand name that believes comfort and quality are key. Founded by twin brothers, Alex and Mike, Faherty grew out of their longtime love of the surf and mountains, road trips, and beach bonfires. You know the feeling. You can feel the feeling. They're passionate about craftsmanship and sustainability. Every piece is designed to be a lifetime favorite. In fact, their clothes get even better with age. I really, 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 I can't say enough about that. I would say the more you wear them, it's almost like the better they feel, the better they look. They just become kind of like these personalized, as if like you had clothing made exactly for you. And if anything happens along the way, Faherty will replace or fix your clothes for life, no matter what. Layer your favorite pieces for a cozy fall vibe, or make it even easier with a one-and-done jumpsuit. Love the jumpsuits. Find a new fall favorite at Faherty. Legendary comfort awaits. You know, it's interesting because, like, it feels like a beach bonfire. It feels like the surfing mountains. It feels like road trips. It feels so comfy and so cozy. And yet it's not like the cozy clothes you have to put on to, like, go to bed at night that nobody sees. Like, you wear them out. They feel amazing. They make you feel amazing. Right now, Faherty is giving all Psychologist RN listeners an amazing deal. 20% off on every order. You heard me. You get a full 20% off your order. It's huge. Head to FahertyBrand.com/psych and use code psych at checkout to get this deal. That's code psych at Faherty, FahertyBrand.com/psych for 20% off. You guys, 20% off, and they will fix your clothes for a lifetime. Your lifetime. FahertyBrand.com/psych.
Show first debut new color on.
Oh my God, I have to hear what this is going to be. What
Julia
is this?
O'Hara. So, Julia, like season three, we're still pulling out the bright colors as if it's
we're
season
still
one. So, you are in a color I have now dubbed Daiquiri Ice Blue, which is, which will usurp Ocean Ice Blue for your eye color.
Yeah.
Because in the close-up that follows after we see you in this beautiful color, like, it makes your eyes just pop so hard blue-green. Daiquiri Ice, by the way, full disclosure. When I was a kid, my favorite flavor at Baskin-Robbins, out of all the 31, I go for the one that's liquor-based, apparently.
Of course. I was going to go with like an Italian shaved ice blue kind of thing. And you said daiquiri, and that's, I think, spot on and also appropriate for... Okay. Us.
Well, now, the next time you're in that ice cream parlor establishment, look up the Daiquiri Ice, and it's that sweater.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a picture.
Now we have some homework to do this, because this is what is going to happen.
It's a task, guys.
Whenever we go to Baskin-Robbins, we're going to look for the Daiquiri Ice, and we're going to take a picture of it and tweet it out to the world.
And then I'm going to go fly to Vancouver.
Had a bourbon-flavored ice cream, you know. Wait, that would have been my favorite.
Oh, well, that's true.
That would have been my favorite, too.
It's still my favorite.
You see?
All right. Jules tells the boys they've arrested Lion Ryan, a notorious compulsive liar who has called in countless tips, which always lead cops on a wild goose chase, or lead cops on a wild goose chases in the past. Except this time, it looks like Ryan actually committed a crime himself. I have to shout out Johnny Silverman because he's so good. First off, Jonathan Silverman is one of the nicest people in, like, you're almost like, is he really that nice? And then you meet him and you're like, yeah, he's like such a nice person.
He is.
He is so perfect for this role because he even in all of his lying and, you know, the Lion Ryan, whatever, there's something so wholesome and sweet about it, which is why people probably believe him. I wrote down, like, he's literally, this was the perfect role for someone like him to play because everyone would believe him.
So much charm in that dude.
So much charm. Okay.
Charm to spare.
Jules claims she never lied before. Then, hold on. Jules claims she's never lied before. Then Sean puts on his high-pitched Jules voice and claims...
The return of the amazing runner of...
Spelling Bee.
Sean doing his high Juliet voice.
Yeah.
One of my favorite runners ever.
Me too.
It's impressively high.
I wish Gus had no balls. Was dead so I could be your partner. I'm trying to do it. It wasn't. It's like really up here. I can't do it. Yes. Okay, then. I shouldn't do it.
Oh, Sean.
Gus replies with his classic line. Oh, wait, do it. That was it.
Hi, Sean. No, I've never had any naughty dreams about you. Did Sandra say naughty?
Yeah, something like that.
Because, you know, it's not even. It's not just high. It's kind of this like back of the throat. Like,
that's
it's really
almost, good.
Yes, and it's also a little. Regressed. It's a little creepy too, though. We can say it is a little creepy too.
It's, if it was, Completely creepy.
It's definitely creepy.
It's like, you know, I'm just saying, if it was dark and it was coming from behind a door or something like that, you'd be pretty freaked out. I'm just saying.
No. Yeah. No, we don't. No, it does. Just for a second, you get just like a little hit that's like a little bite, a little chills. Not in a good way.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Delay. All right. Jules claims she's never, okay, just be your partner. Okay, Gus replies. So I wish Gus was dead so I could be your partner. Then Gus replies with his classic mm-hmm. line, that's messed up. Sean and Gus that's then right. follow Jules to the observation room. Ryan claims that he asked his super to fix his disposal after clogging it with cinnamon sticks and lemon wedges from a marinade and to check the pipes because the polarity was off. But when he got home, he found his super's bloody body on the floor and tried to revive him. Ryan also mentions he went out to get fries, cuatro quesos, dos fritos.
Show first, everybody. Show first.
Who knew?
I got to say, while we're in the one-way mirror interrogation room, observing the interrogation room, Chief Vic in the rocking the Pepto drink and the maximum poppage of that collar.
Yeah,
like the collar's out to here. It's like almost to her shoulder.
You know, that is definitely dated. It definitely lets you know that we are in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, it's good. We're still in it too. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we've established that Karen Vick always goes for the poppage, but this was maximum poppage.
Yeah. It was maximum poppage, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ryan is desperate, saying that if the cops don't believe him, someone else is going to die. Just in time, Sean jumps in, asking about the restaurant, and then tells the cops that Lion Ryan is telling the truth. Sean and Gus head to the restaurant that Ryan mentioned earlier to investigate. After the boys take in the beauty and the deliciousness of the cuatro quesos dos fritos, they interrogate a waitress about what went on the other night.
I got to back up a little bit, Doc. I think right before that, you missed the classic thing of the lead into Grimace being black.
Oh, she's gonna say, wait, are we not there?
I got a psychic premonition here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That conversation of Grimace being a brother is so amazing.
The
psychic premonition is that your shirt is the same color as Grimace.
Lots of synchronicity happening.
There's a lot of layers happening right there. You see what I'm saying? I didn't even notice it back then when we were filming it, but that's a
now
very
you,
good point.
Now you can't unsee it.
Now I can't
now,
unsee
now
it.
Now it's all you'll see.
You see? It's lavender.
But
Belinda
this was
likes it meant to shine.
lavender gooms.
You see what I'm saying? Exactly.
Have we gotten to your name yet? Your nickname in this one? Holla back at you?
No, we're not there yet.
Okay, we'll get there. Hold on.
But I it's been so long since we've done it, but I remembered that scene about Grimace T. Jackson when I watched it. I remember this. I remember us having this whole thing, and Rodé and I were cracking each other up.
Oh my
just
God.
Because of the idea that we're having
this conversation. I'll give you Vin Diesel. You can't have Grimace.
Give you Vin Diesel.
Oh, no, I think it was I gave you Vin Diesel.
Diesel, right.
You can't have Grimace.
That was hilarious.
It's so good.
Who wrote this episode?
This was written by Tori Walker.
Oh,
Tori.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
I think she may have left. I think this was her last season with us, mm-hmm. even.
This is the one that broke her?
The what?
This is the one that broke Tori?
This is the one that broke Tori.
You see?
She got called up to something mm-hmm. big. Okay, so they interrogate a waitress about what went down, then the hostess, then the valet guy. Turns out everything Ryan stated was true. Then the boys head to Ryan's apartment. Sean comes to the conclusion that the super was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sean and Gus then run into Jules and a very irritated Lassie since he waited all day at court for no defense attorney to show up.
Sorry, another psych premonition?
Yes.
In Ryan, well, it's not a psych premonition, sorry, but in Ryan's apartment, we see a photo of Johnny and Jerry curled up from, I think it was Busch Gardens.
Oh,
and they're both wearing Pepto drink shirts.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
Like the brightest Pepto drink shirts ever.
But what was so cool about, funny about that moment too was, I guess, in a police station, Ryan was talking about how, you know, he had the nice hair. And he was talking about me.
Yeah.
But he's connecting me to that guy who then we said, is that Coco Beware? I was rolling. Oh my gosh.
You brought back some memories. And you look at the painting and say, that's what he thinks good hair looks like?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Not the painting, sorry, the photograph.
Oh, so good.
That's funny.
I wrote down Hamburglar as well. Uh-huh. I don't remember why.
And Mayor McCheese.
I love that I don't connect any of the things. I just write down all the funny jokes.
The handlebar mustache.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which, but I put a little extra wax in for y'all, everybody.
All right, hold on. Since Ryan mentioned the numbers 420 earlier, Gus has been researching all the addresses that start with 420, but is tired of doing all the work. So he grabs his pharmaceutical case and tells Sean he's going to his real job. He says that if Sean needs help, then call the human lie detector instead. Cut to Henry and Sean interrogating Ryan, who claims he did do the murder. Complete change of story. Henry admits he knows the kid is lying and that Sean only wants to help him because he relates to Ryan. Sean, incredibly frustrated, insists Ryan stop with all the lies and just be Ryan. But just then, Gus calls from his route. He's figured out where the next hit is going to be. As the gang arrives at 420 Main Street, a hospital, they meet Tom Lieber, a person who is slowly regaining his memory from a car accident he was in a few days ago. Annoyed with no result during their interrogation, Lassiter leaves to take a call from the chief, who tells them the body of the missing defense lawyer was found in a building on Gardner and Carrillo. Sean and Gus arrive at the police.
Sorry, who do I say I'm talking to? I say I'm talking to Dobson.
Oh, yeah, I wrote that down. We got a Dobson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Little Dobson, yeah, shout out.
Take a call from Dobson.
Dobson.
The runner is now like really solid. I feel like this is probably like the fourth Dobson we've had. We've really built it up until to the last episode.
And we had no idea where we were going to land with it all. At this point in time, it was just Dobson it by faith. You know what I'm saying? Dobson it by faith. We had no idea who was going to be. You see?
It's so cool. It's so funny. There, like, I think about this now. Of course, it was absolutely brilliant. But we had no idea.
Nope.
We just had the anniversary of that scene.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah. I put up on all my socials the picture of everybody who was there shooting that day.
The only scene
we're talking about the great Val Kilmer.
Yes, we've only shot like twice in Los Angeles, and both times have been phenomenally great actors.
Yeah.
One was this scene, or that scene that you're talking about with the Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
And then the other was with the great Tim Robinson.
Yep.
Yes.
Aww, and Psych the movie
1.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. And then
done that without my dear Maggie Lawson.
See, yeah. Yeah, we shot that.
That was a really special day.
Has there been anybody else? In the LA?
I don't think we have. I don't think we've shot anything else in LA. Unless it was like did we?
No, we did for Psych 3. We should be shot. Kurt Smith.
Oh, right. That's right. Indeed. Ray Wise.
And Ray Wise. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
These are things that come to mind. But
who are we going to get from 4? I can't wait to see who the huge star is going to be.
Maybe, who knows? We'll have to see.
I know.
Well, maybe it'll be like Michael Jackson or Prince.
That'd
be a huge splash, wouldn't it? If we pulled that off.
That would be pretty difficult to go on those.
Michael Jackson, Prince.
I'm calling
Tupac.
Steve as soon as we hang up.
Tupac. Hell of a get.
Yes. My God, I love it. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Do you guys ever feel like you get so focused on the fact that you can't solve a problem that is what you become fixated on, so you can't even get to the part of your brain that would to like slow down and get to the solution part? Is that just me? I don't know. I feel like we can all kind of relate to that probably on some level. It can be tough to train your brain to stay in problem-solving mode when faced with a challenge in life. But when you learn how to find your own solutions, there is no better feeling. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or how small. I have used BetterHelp. I actually think it's so easy to use, you guys. It's so tailored for your safety, like in the experience, which I think is so special. And it's also just the ease of use, like signing up to actually speaking to somebody. It's all very, very easy, seamless. And I can't think of one downside to having someone or a person, especially actually somebody that's not super close to you, you know, it's like having somebody help you lay it all out in front of you and to help you get into problem solving mode, but help them help you find those things for yourself. Anyway, I can't say enough about it. I know I talk about it a lot on here, but it's a pretty, the ease of experience was, and the safety part, which I think is so, so important. I think that BetterHelp is just wonderful. Wonderful. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. Get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey and switch therapists anytime. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can help you get there. Visit betterhelp.com/pineapple today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/pineapple. Okay, hold on. I forget. Where am I? Oh, Tom Lieber. There we go. Okay. Annoyed with no result during their interrogation, Lassiter leaves to take a call from the chief who tells them the body of the missing defense lawyer was found in a building. I already said all this. Hold on. Sean and Gus arrive at the police station, fries in hand, in hopes of winning Chief Fit back. Unfortunately, they do not travel well. The fries. Also very funny, runner. Yeah. Lassiter and Juliet watch a tape from the night of the accident and find Lieber fleeing from the scene. Then they head to the hospital to arrest Lieber. But Sean sees something else on the tape. Two shadows, which I thought was really cool. I thought that was a neat, like, thing that he could see. Mm-hmm. A couple of shadows. He realizes Lieber saw Ryan's assassins kill the lawyer and ran for his life right into traffic. The killers, following Lieber's recovery in the paper, know Lieber.
Tommy Lieber.
Tom Lieber.
Yeah, I'm just gonna keep saying Tommy Lieber. Every time you say yes.
He's the sweetest. He's so sweet. We still connect on Instagram and... he's the best. Anyway, so recover. They know Lieber.
Tommy Lieber.
Becomes Tommy more of a threat Lieber. Every day and will try to eliminate him again if there's no witness. Back at the hospital, Lassie calls Dobson, I think this is where it is, for backup. Once Gus and Sean head back to the Blueberry, they find Tom and Ryan hiding in the back seat. Gus horribly swerves around traffic as Ryan explains that the bad guys are right behind them. Gus, not seeing anyone following them, pulls over into an alley. But just so
I was gonna
good.
Say, so that made me crack up, though.
It was like, so good.
The realization they did all of this, and then at least in Gus's mind, there was nobody following them.
He did it.
Pretty genius.
And I got to say, yeah. Martha so good. Shot it's so the good. Shit out of this action he chase did. Scene.
Really she good.
I was very impressed with the handling of the Blueberry. I mean, that car has some handles on it. Who knew?
Who knew? And well, I was the Blueberry's delay, were you
some,
driving?
Racing suspension on it.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay, hold on. The bad guys are right behind them. Da-da-da. Gus, not seeing anyone following them, pulls over into an alley. Just as Sean convinces him to trust his belief in Ryan, the killers pull up and start shooting at them. So stupid. Yes, Tim.
I got to say, return to the badass O'Hara, running in heels with gun drawn.
Yeah.
So badass.
Yeah.
In your limoncello yellow top.
Thanks, guys. I remember this day. I remember because it was a haul down that alley quite a bit. Like we had to like tuck away. And then like when the camera came around on us, we had to like already be in a pretty decent clip.
Yeah,
and
we did. And
it was no joke.
I mean, I was going to say me running in dress shoes, but it's got nothing on you running in those heels.
I
actually get to shoot somebody for once. I mean, other than shooting the bad guy and Ben and Lassie did a bad thing. It's so rare that we see Lassiter actually shoot somebody. Although we could say that we never saw who fired the shot.
Who pulled the trigger?
We could say O'Hara shot him.
It could have been O'Hara.
It's true.
It could have been O'Hara. Yep. But here's the thing. Here's what I realized too is that that mustache that we saw on the bad guy in that scene, that was Tim's inspiration from that moment. I mean, as you see his mustache now, it's like that he gave
here's
it inspiration.
The
to me.
It all goes back then. It all goes back to Lion Ryan.
Wait a second. I think,
I need to add a little something.
Yeah, I think maybe like 16 years from now, I'm going to grow a mustache like that, and I'm going to add the beard to it.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Yeah. That's what you were thinking in that moment. That's impressive. And you followed through with it, Tim. I'm very impressed.
In a major way.
In a major way.
I wonder if that actor knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I wonder if that was a psych premonition to this much. And I actually have a comment of I wonder who his mustache guy is.
You do. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You see?
Yeah.
You actually
the wheels were in motion.
You put it on camera and then now look at us now.
And look at you.
You see?
All right. Lassiter and Juliet arrived just in time, making it appear that Sean and Ryan had been telling the truth all along. back at the psych office, Ryan thanks Sean and Gus for believing him and claims he's turning over a new leaf from now on and that he's going to be just Ryan. But then he mentions he has to leave to captain a hot air balloon and a multi-state regatta. Then Sean and Gus fight over a shotgun in the hot air balloon. And that is our episode. But we have fan questions.
All right, let's do it.
Who is the best and worst liar in the cast?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
The best and worst liar.
Well, let's think about Mafia, because that's a good night that everybody that everybody can lie. I think Dulé, I think you are, even. So you're hard to tell. You're like, or poker. Like, you're hard to tell. Mm-hmm. I feel like you keep an even, you could keep an even heart rate.
Demeanor.
Yeah. Yes.
You don't go for the mendacity.
Yeah. Mendacity.
That's a very impressive word.
What is that word again?
Yes. That's not on my
mendacity.
Radar.
It's a little Tennessee Williams, cat on a hot tin roof. Big Daddy's favorite line is he says mendacity like 14 times. It's just one of my favorite words, just because it's fun to say.
We should know that, Dulé. We should have known that. We should have known that. I'm just going to start saying it. I don't even know what it means, but I'm going to say it.
Lying and liars.
I think I'm a terrible liar. So, but I think I'm pretty good at Mafia. So I don't know.
But are you lying right now?
Isn't that the question? Okay.
Mendacity means untruthfulness.
Oh, okay.
Untruthfulness. So who would be... let's go with the best being... Let's say the best liar being Corbin Burnson.
I like it.
Because Corbin has so many stories, so many outlandish stories.
He does.
It's hard to really tell which one is the truth and which one is not, because they all can be...
They're all out
wild. With the man who's lived the life he's led, it can all be true.
I like that. Because it is so, they are so believable. But you could also, if someday, see, he's like, look, 50% of the stories I told you guys were lies. We'd be like, you'd kind of believe that too.
Exactly.
Like, oh, I love this. Good call, Dulé.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you have believed Ryan in this scenario?
Would I have believed Ryan in this scenario? I would have believed Ryan up until the moment that he lied to me in front of Henry.
Yes.
See, and so then I'm like, you know what? Enough. No, enough. This is too much.
That's a good call. And maybe
he might have lost me right before when he said one of his many assistants will get in touch with him.
Right.
What? If you have many assistants, why can't you bail yourself out, brother? I mean, come
seriously.
On. You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Oh, this is a fun question and a good callback, because I just want to see where it's going to go. Did Sean really putt the ball in the beginning of the episode, or was it cut with several different shots? So, Dulé, do you want to explain, was there a ball? Was there not a ball? And how was it acting with no balls?
When the camera was on us, there was no balls.
How was it to act with no balls?
I just want to clarify. For our listeners who are confused, you and Rodriguez had no balls in this scene.
No, there were no balls in this scene when the camera was on us.
Right.
And it actually was fine acting with no balls, because we've been around balls enough to be able to imagine the balls and see the balls right there in front of our face.
We are children.
It's okay.
We are children.
When they turned the camera around, I mean, I'm assuming there was a ball there, because we all saw the ball on camera.
Well, the ball was impressive.
It was impressive ball, rolling around and this and that. But being that they were cutting back and forth with no balls and then a ball, no balls and then a ball, they could kind of put the ball wherever they wanted. But I will also say this. I can say with 1,000% certainty that when they were shooting the ball, I was not there.
Whoa.
I was like, no, I was probably having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich somewhere. That's probably what I was doing.
Well, you were tired from acting with no balls.
With no balls. It takes a lot of effort to act with no balls. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, for some people. For you guys, not so much, because you're so used to it. But, you know, meaning you know how to act as if balls are there.
Now we know why you map so much.
Why you what?
So now we know why he...
Naps so much. Right.
Naps
it's tiring.
So much and eats so many PB&Js on set.
Got
you
it.
See?
Yeah.
You need that sugar boost for having no balls.
I love when Dulé is here. I used to have a runner, and I hope, and we can cut this if you want to, late, but I used to have a thing that was like, I feel like most, we could like start a normal conversation, but somehow it always sounded or turned dirty at some point. Like, it didn't matter. I actually think I said this on stage once, like at Comic-Con. It didn't matter what anyone asked. It would just be like, so what's up with all the pineapples? And Dulé would be like, what is up with all the pineapples? And suddenly we would be like, oh my God, we're having some, like, it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
Like, I'm just asking the question back.
But there was always this like tinge of like, oh shit. Sorry.
As Dulé goes, because they're tangy and sweet.
I would just ask the question back. That's all. I'm not adding anything on to
it. But then I'd say, oh, I don't know. I really like pineapples. They're tangy and sweet. Oh, I bet you do, Maggie. I bet you do like things. And I'm like, what? What does it mean? What are you implying, Dulé? Okay, we'll move on.
Okay, I gotta ask, Dulé, do you remember what my favorite thing to do with your peanut butter jelly sandwiches on set was?
Sniff them?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
it was disgusting.
Oh my God.
Tim would come up to my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and always...
As soon as I could get to it, I just take it. Like, hey, Dulé, I got your sandwich.
Yes, it's like as close as his nostril could get to the bread without actually touching the bread.
I just don't know why. Because I'm a 5-year-old boy. Just used to make me so. Yes. I used to entertain myself so much by sniffing a sandwich. Because I think you made a point one time of your cousins mess with your food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my cousins used to do that. And we used to do a thing like we would come over and if there's a plate of food, they would come and just put the finger in and say this is the plate. And they'd be like, you going to eat that?
So that was my non-family, non-blood relative version.
So at some point, you're like,
well, obviously I'm not going to eat it now. You know what I mean? Oh, my gosh.
It's so good. Okay, two questions. Oh, my God.
So you're like, brother, if you don't get away from my peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Oh,
this was pre-COVID, everybody. This was pre-COVID. Pre-COVID.
We were just all up in each other's business all the time. Okay, two more questions. Have you ever actually tried cuatro quesos dos fritos?
I did on, I think it was in psych one.
In that scene in the apartment when you're...
Yeah. And they weren't warm though. Were they warm? I don't think they were warm.
Oh, God.
I did try them then. And they were... You know, I'm not gonna say what my taste buds thought. You know what? I'm gonna leave that for you to decide. You have to go try the cuatro quesos dos fritos yourself and decide for yourself. You know, it's a very intimate and personal thing.
But you should really speak to your doctor first because that's a lot of cholesterol.
Yeah. That is true. I would only try like half of one. I wouldn't go and have a cuatro quesos dos fritos party. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't do that. You know. Maybe if you've done like a decathlon, then maybe you could have a cuatro quesos dos fritos party.
Right.
But if you're like me and most of the time you like sitting on the couch and watching TV, then maybe you might just want to have like a little bite. I'm just saying.
Oh, I like it.
Pre-angiogram or post is the question.
I like it. Okay, I lied. We have two more. Now we have two more questions. Who came up with the fries? Okay. Do we know? Were they real or inspired? You know,
before this episode, I would have thought that it would have been something that came up randomly on set.
Same. Yeah.
It must have came up in the writer's room.
Something now. Yeah.
You know, it's one of the brilliant writers must have talked about, this is the way to do it.
It feels like a Berman to me.
Same.
Boom. Yeah.
Jinx, owe me a Coke.
Tom? Yep. Oh, this is good. Okay, last question. Is there someone in your life who you can always, call your bluff?
Oh, that's easy for me. Jasmine Simon.
Yeah.
She's like a human lie detector, you know what I mean?
Rodé, even to this day, could probably call my bluff on something. Yeah. And Tim, you could probably call. You could probably tell. I feel like you know sometimes, like, you'll just psychically be like, yeah, I'll send you a text, be like, everything's fine. And you'll be like, okay, tell me what's really going on. And I'm like, okay.
Well, since you asked.
That's about it, Dulé.
Well, first of all, I forgot to set my alarm this morning. I forgot.
Yeah, Mac, it's funny because I would say the same of you for me.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. And then he really regrets asking me, Dulé. And yes.
He's like, why do I do this? Every time.
Every time. It's every time.
You know this, Tim. You know this.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, Tim, I probably do kind of know him with you too, but I actually think
you and I are still full disclosure. I don't think you even bothered to try.
No. And Tim knows when he asks me what's going on. He needs to be near his phone for a while.
Right. He already knows the answer to it.
Yeah, he does. He always does, actually. Yeah. anything else you guys want to add about this episode? I mean, this is so fun. We just can't wait for you to come back.
Holler back at you. That was a... that's where the nickname came in.
I literally brought it up and then we never even came back to it.
Okay. Yep. Holler back at you.
It was the greatest. And what does he call you? It's something different. It's not like...
you know, we forgot? The don't be the crevice in my arm.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wow. I didn't realize that was from this episode.
Yes. Oh, that's you so good. That's good. You're good. Yeah. We didn't even take notes because we were like, we're going to... we didn't want to like overwhelm today. So we were like, we'll take a few notes. But now look, we missed a couple things. Holla back at ya. Yeah. The crevice and the arm. Back at you and
don't be the crevice. Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Sure enough.
Not a fan question, but a co-host question. Dulé Isgrimis or brother?
Of course.
Dulé what?
I asked Isgrimis Grimace was Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Tim,
was it Grimace you know what it feels T. like right Jackson? Now,
Tim? Yes, but you know what this feels like right now, Tim? This feels like you reaching out to Maggie saying, is everything okay?
I literally was going to say the same thing. You know the answer. You knew it.
You're right. You know me too well, brother.
You see, come on, man. Come on.
Same thought. Literally was like, this is the same thing he's doing. He knows the answer to this. But I still like that you posed the question. I'm not going to lie. I like the execution of the whole thing. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, that's all set. That's facts. I mean, that's just there. You know what I mean? But the fact that we actually, in the conversation with Sean, the T Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, does Grimace really have a last name? I don't think so. I think it's just Grimace, right?
Yeah, but...
So where does he get T Jackson from?
Because that's his name.
Grimace T Jackson.
That's his name.
And once you have T Jackson, it's like, come on.
Yeah, there's no question you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God.
Come on.
It's so good. Yeah. Oh, this man. Is so fun. Dulé, come back as soon as you can and let's get Jazz on here too. And
I laughed so hard for this last hour. Thank you, my friends.
Oh my God. Always. I literally, every time we hang up with you, I'm always like, we just giggle through the whole thing. It's the greatest.
You know, it's always love flowing. You know what I mean? It's always good to see your beautiful faces.
And it's so good to see you.
Look back on yesterday and see where we are today and just be inspired about tomorrow.
That's it. And then there's always that. You drop like some wisdom. Dulé is like, I feel like you come in with like, we were talking about it last time too. I think about that thing you always say about taking the temperature of the room and how you kind of adjust. Like, oh, if it's a little hot, you know, you want to adjust. Yeah.
Well, what I say is I try to be a thermostat.
A thermostat. That's what it is. That's right. Yeah.
Because a thermometer reacts to the temperature that's in the room. A thermostat sets the temperature that's in the room.
Oh, yes. See, I've never understood it that way. It always confused me because I always thought, but the thermostat controls it.
Yeah.
Right. So if the thermostat says let's cool it down.
Yeah.
It's going to be cool, but if a thermometer
just reacts,
if it's hot, it's hot.
Yeah.
It's like it's hot. I don't know. I'm just telling you, that's hot in here.
You know it goes along. So. It like goes along with the crowd. It goes along with the heat or the fire or the whatever's happening. Right. It just has to like Whereas like the thermostat controls it. Yeah.
Yeah. I try my best to live a life where it's like I can affect the space that I'm in and not be affected by the space that I'm in, especially when it's challenging environments.
Yeah. You know? Well, even if it's not like even today, you always do that. So. You always like raise it up a little. Even just us giggling all day. It's always, that is you. That is what you do. Anyway, we love you.
I appreciate that, Maggie Lawson.
We love you a lot. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. We love you. And
do the cream hill.
Love you too, Timo.
Love you so much. Thank you so much.
We can all connect together again soon.
Yeah, let's do it. Seriously, such a great episode. I feel like all of Dulé's episodes, I feel like all we do is giggle. all the way through. It's just, it's so much fun. Dulé, we love you so much, so much. As always, thank you all for listening to episode 14 of The Psychologist RN. Don't forget to follow us on our Instagram at The Psychologist RN and our Twitter at Psychologist Pod, and check out our Patreon for full videos of the episodes and more at patreon.com/psychologistsrn. And next week's guest, you aren't even ready. You heard it both ways. He's heard it both ways, and he's ready to talk about Tuesday the 17th. We're going to be joined by James Roday Rodriguez.
This is The Confused Breakfast,
a movie podcast creating a lot of ruckus around the world.
We talk about classic movies the same way that you and your friends talk about them,
with a little bit of film buff knowledge thrown in because we just can't help ourselves.
If movie quotes are part of your daily vocabulary,
if you like to talk about fun fan theories,
if you've always wanted to punch a movie character in the face,
we're here to podcast for you.
From Back to the Future,
Ghostbusters,
The Shining, and so many more.
Check out The Confused Breakfast wherever you listen to podcasts.